Morning, Salam Aleichem. Thank you very much for inviting me to share some words of Torah with you. And bearing in mind that this coming Shabbat we'll be reading the Parashiyot of Maharim B'Chukotai, I've chosen the subject, Blessings in the Curses. So we'll be looking at the Tokacha in general, and more specifically, we'll be trying to identify some silver linings in the deep and dark clouds that sometimes fall over Klal Yisrael. First of all, looking at the Brachot and the Klalot of the Chukotai in general, we notice that there are 11 psukim of Brachot and 33 psukim of Klalot. Isn't that a bit unbalanced, unfair? Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us as many Brachot as Klalot. There are two ways of approaching this. The first is the way of Ibn Ezra. He identifies the fact that within the brachot we find generalities. Benatati shalom ba'aretz, I will give peace in the land. Benatati gishmechem be'itam, rain will fall. You will be secure. You will be at ease. General statements. When it comes to the klalot, within the tokacha we have pirtei pratim, specifics, the actual details of what might chas v'shalom happen to Am Yisrael, says Ibn Ezra. With regard to an incentive for blessings, Hashem just has to describe the overall categories of blessings. When it comes to klalot, it is important for people to hear specifics, to know what chas v'shalom might actually happen, to serve as this incentive for us as a nation to go the wrong way. Then there is a different approach to this, and that is to explain that within Chumash, throughout it all, on numerous occasions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us blessing. In this particular Sedra, as is the case in Kitavo, Hashem mentions Klalot, some curses. And therefore, the essence of B'chukotai is the Klalot. However, to get there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first starts off with Brachot. Because we know that if ever you're going to give some constructive criticism, the best context in which to do so is to show the person, I'm ready for you, I'm with you, I want you to go in a positive direction, I want you to be showered with blessings. And then you come along to some negative statements relating to how a person can improve and what will happen chas v'shalom if they go the wrong way. So we start off with im b'chukotai teilechu, and then we come to the thus. V'im, however, if you don't go in my ways, then such and such might happen. There can be occasions when an employer will call in the employee for a heart-to-heart chat, and the employer will start off by citing positive factors relating to his work, and then he'll come to the word but. What the employee should know is that the entire interview is all for the sake of that but. That's why the session is taking place. That's the ikkah, that's the essence of the message that is being conveyed. And that is what's happening here in Parshat B'Chukotai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us to the ve'im, the but. And he does it first through the im, through the positive statements and the brachot. What's very interesting is that the tokacha in Parshat B'Chukotai is stated in the plural, to Am Yisrael as a whole. If you have a look at the tokacha in Parshat Ki Tavo, it's stated in the singular, becha, lecha, and so on. What we therefore realize from the two tokachas is that we live a dual existence. I am myself, and I'm also a cog within the wheel of Am Yisrael. Sometimes things happen to me and I experience various things because of me and my life, as a consequence of my actions, bearing in mind my own fate and destiny. And sometimes what happens to me has nothing much to do with me myself. Rather, it's because I am part of Klal Yisrael and I share the overall destiny of my nation. And that is why the two tokachas come in that particular context. Rabbeinu Ephraim cites a very nice idea. He says, have a look at the first and last letters of the brachot and the klalot. The first letter of the brachot at the beginning of the Sedra is Aleph, Ibachukotai Telechu. The concluding letter in the word Komemiyot at the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel in the opening Pasha is a Taf. So therefore the Brachot go from Aleph to Taf. Have a look at the Klalot. The opening letter is Ve'im, which is a Vav, and the concluding letter at the end of Pasuk Mem Vav is Moshe, which is a He. So the Klalot go from Vav to He. They also go through the Aleph Bet, but they start somewhere in the middle and then go all the way around and come from Aleph up to He, indicating that the Brachot are something which are complete from Aleph to He, whole and expansive. With regards to the Klalot, here within Chumash we have the Tefillah that they will not be complete, they will be somewhat haphazard, and also that if they ever take place, they should happen speedily. In addition, Rabbeinu Ephraim cites the fact that the two letters, the commencement and the concluding of the Klalot, the Vav and the Hey, are two of the letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, indicating Imanu Chivatara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us at the time of our suffering. Now, bearing that in mind, let me come to the first example of a bracha within a klala. It's the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being with Am Yisrael at the time of our tzara and not deserting us. Perek Avav, Pasuk Mem Dalet. There the Torah says, V'af gamzot biyotam be'eret oyveihem. And even though I will exile the nation and they will be in the land of their enemies, lo ma'askim ve'lo ga'altim l'chalotam, I will not despise them nor abhor them to actually wipe them out, lahafer briti itam, to go against my covenant with them, ki ani Hashem Elokehem, because I am the Lord their God. And here you see the Torah source for Am Yisrael, the fact that Am Yisrael has lived through the ages against all odds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, even though we might be exiled and we might suffer horrific tragedies, nonetheless He will never despise us to the extent that He will abhor us, to break His covenant with us and to destroy Am Yisrael. There is a promise here, the Jewish nation will always live. And this is connected to the concluding statement in the Brachot. It's fascinating. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem says, V'natzadim ishkani betochechem, v'lo tigal nafshi etchem. And I will place my sanctuary within you, and I will not abhor you. Now what kind of a statement is this? This is in the Brachot. It's coming to the sea, to the climax of it. And Hashem says, I will go with you as a chatan with a kala, lechtecha karay b'amidbar, be'eretz lo zruah, and I will establish my mishkan b'tochechem, within you. It won't be only a building, it will be part of you. It will drive you, it will direct you, it will guide you. And the two of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, will be together. And then Hashem says, V'lo tigal nafshi, you don't have to worry, I won't abhor you, I won't despise you. Who's abhorring anybody? Hashem is speaking about a spiritual connection, a most remarkable shidduch, a brit, a covenant. So the Sheman HaTov explains beautifully. He says, here within this bracha, Hashem recognizes that sometimes the greatest of lovers can turn into the greatest of foes. You can see, for example, how tragically it can sometimes happen that a couple get together with passion and affection, they set up a home, and after a certain amount of time they fall out with each other to the extent that they become arch enemies, which can lead to a huge amount of bitterness. That's human nature. It can sometimes happen. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it will be ois shidduch between me and Am Yisrael, you don't have to worry. V'lo tigal nafshi, I will not despise you. Even though on account of your misdemeanors, Am Yisrael, you might go away from me, nonetheless, I will still love you, I will have my affection for you, I will keep you alive, I will not abhor you. And therefore, yet again, we see that within a curse, we find a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me now go on to Pasuk Kaptet within the Tochacha in Perek Kavav, to what surely is the most heartbreaking Pasuk to read. V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem u'b'sar b'noteichem tochel. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. Why dafka the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters? Pasuk could have said, b'neichem usually means all of your children. Or yaldeichem. Why dafka sons and daughters? In Sefer Iturei Torah, he says there is a bracha in this pasuk. what kind of pervert logic can lead us to presume there is a bracha in this pasuk that chas v'shalom people will be so desperate for food that they will take the flesh of their children who have passed away and they will eat it. Says Itzurei Torah, understand it differently, not in the literal context that we usually read it. Here we are describing an age in which many children are leaving the paths of Am Yisrael, of Torah and Mitzvot. Hashem says, even though you will be exiled and things will be bad for you, nonetheless, there will still be an element within Am Yisrael which will be true to Torah and Mitzvot and which will keep Kashrut. Now, for parents who raise children and grandchildren, Chas v'shalom, it should come the day when we can't even eat in our children's homes or in our grandchildren's homes. Therefore the pasuk says, V'achalten v'sar b'neichem, you will eat the flesh of your sons. Meaning when you go to your son's house, he'll serve you meat, the hechshel will be right, and the davka basar, it's not fish or anything, the hechshel will be right, everything will be fine, you'll be able to eat in your son's home. And you'll be able to eat the flesh that is served in your daughter's house as well. Why davka sons and daughters? Well, you see, if you have a daughter, even if she's distanced herself, nonetheless, her home will be a Jewish home. Her kids will be Jewish. If you have a son and he's distanced himself, Kaddish Shalom, that'll be the end of the line. So therefore, first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'achaltem b'sar b'neichem, to highlight the fact, with regard to your son's home, yes, in your son's home, you'll be able to eat in your son's home, or sarvanotichem, and also your daughter. So first stating the more unlikely as a sign that even when things will go wrong for us in the age of our dispersion, nonetheless, Am Yisrael will be true to Torah, and as a result, we'll be able to eat in the homes of our children. Perikabav, Pasuk Lamedbet. Vashimoti ani et haaretz. Hashem says, I will make the land of Israel desolate. Veshamamu aleha oyevechem hayoshvim ba. And your enemies who will dwell within it will be astonished at what's going on in that land. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there will be a curse on the land. Not only Am Yisrael, the holy people will be cursed, but the holy land itself will be cursed. Vashimoti ani et haaretz. It will be desolate. Nothing will be able to be grown within it. There will be swamps within it. A terrible curse for the land. Says the Ramban, herein lies a great bracha. What is the bracha? He says, if our enemies would come into our land and they would find the soil to be fertile and they would settle down and they would thrive there, when the time would come for Am Yisrael to take the land back again, they would say, no, this is a wonderful country for us. However, because the land would not be hospitable towards them, and as a result, the nations wouldn't feel at home there, consequently it would be easier for Am Yisrael to return. And indeed we can see how through the ages, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept that land to be an area of swamps, desolate. And what have we seen in the last century? In fulfillment of the words of our Nevi'im, that indeed those swamps have been transformed into oases, into wonderful areas of growth, as a sure sign that special things are happening to Am Yisrael with the return of Am Yisrael to her very borders. I was thinking as follows. You know, the whole of the Middle East is blessed with oil, except for one little strip of land, and that's Eretz Yisrael. Could HaKadosh Baruch Hu not have given us just one little oil field? That would solve all our problems. Yeah, just one little one. In desperation, we've been looking for every year. The government is directing digging for oil here, sometimes onshore, offshore, etc. There are rumors we found. It never comes to anything. Just one little oil field? No, that's part of the brocha. Had there been oil in Israel, we wouldn't have an Israel today. It's the very fact that it has been desolate and has not produced that which the rest of the Middle East has produced, that Am Yisrael has now come back. Within that klala, there has indeed been a bracha. Now let's read Pasuk Membet, which we're familiar with from Atfilot of the Yamim Noraim. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov, Vate priti Yitzchak, vate priti Abraham Eskor, v'ha'aretz Eskor. Hashem says, and I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and also my covenant with Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Abraham I will remember, and the land I will remember. In some kehilot, the Baal Korah raises his voice for this pasuk. In others, his voice still remains down. By the way, the Chofetz Chaim is of the view that the entire Tochacha should be read at the standard volume. You don't read the Tochacha in an undertone. And he says if somebody is going into a dangerous area, you don't just allow the person to walk through. You strike a bulk, you warn the person while he's walking into. Consequently, with regards to Tochacha, there's a Chofetz Chaim. We need to read this aloud so that people are aware of its content, not in an undertone. Nonetheless, in most kehilot, we read it in an undertone. So, this pasuk of Bezachar Tiet Briti, in some kehilot, the voice is raised. Nonetheless, it appears within the context of the Tochacha of the curses. And there are three questions we need to ask. The first is, Bezachar Tiet Briti Yaakov. In this particular pasuk, Yaakov is written Malay. Yud Ayin Kuf Vav Bet. Rashi tells us that there are only five places in the whole of Tanakh in which Yaakov is written Malay with a Vav. Isn't it amazing? He didn't have a Bar Ilan CD-ROM to just get up the names on the screen. Rashi knew only five Yaakov's Malay. Rashi also tells us that there are five occasions in which Eliyahu is written Chaser. And that's why sometimes it's Eliyah and not Eliyahu. So first of all, why is this one of the rare occasions in which Yaakov is Malay? Secondly, notice the order. V'zachartir priti Yaakov, starting with Yaakov, v'afet priti Yitzchak, then Yitzchak, v'afet priti Abraham Eskor, and then Yaakov. Should be Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Abraham in this particular context? And then there's a third question with regard to Zechira. Zechira here is mentioned for Avram and for Yaakov, but there's no Zechira mentioned for Yitzchak. V'zacharti et briti Yaakov. I will remember, there's Zechira for the brit of Yaakov. V'af et briti Yitzchak. It doesn't say I will remember the brit of Yitzchak, it says V'af, and even, also, my covenant with Yitzchak. V'af et briti Abraham Eskor, and I will remember the covenant with Abraham. So there's remembrance, there's Zechira for Yaakov and for Avram, but no remembrance for Yitzchak. Those are our three questions. Rashi is going to help us. So first of all, Rashi asks, Lama nimnu akoranit? Why of the names of our avot mentioned in reverse order? And he explains, Klomar, it comes to tell us, Kedaihu Yaakov hakatan v'kach. Yaakov, who is the youngest of the three avot, he alone provides the zechut, the merit, through which Am Yisrael should prevail and should survive, and Hashem will remember his covenants with us. That is sufficient. And if Yaakov alone is not sufficient through his merit, then we'll add Yitzchak to Yaakov. So now it'll be Yaakov and Yitzchak together. And if the two of them are not sufficient through their merit, Hare Avram Imo, then with Avram together, the three of them will be sufficient. Shehu Kedai, certainly that will save Am Yisrael. We're speaking here about the Zechut Avot. And with regard to Zechut Avot, the Shlach HaKadosh said that the mentioning here of Zechut Avot is actually a klala. The Shlach says that for this particular pasuk, it's not something to read in a loud voice, it's something to be ashamed of. What does he mean? Says the Shlach. There are occasions when a person deviates from the path of goodness. If he comes from a good home, from a solid background, where he received a proper upbringing, his misdemeanors become all the more serious. It's like the story that is told of a fellow who comes before the Beit Din, he's found to be guilty of whatever it is. Just before the Dayan impart sentence, he says to them, I would like you to know who I am. My father is so and so. My grandparents are such and such. And then the Dayanim said, sure, we'll bear that in mind. As a result, we'll give you a harsher punishment. If that's your background, you should have known better. Similarly, says the Shlach HaKadosh. Hashem says, I will remember my covenant with Avram, with Yitzchak, and with Yaakov. And see, when you have come to as a result of such a background, how you've squandered your chances, that's bad news for Am Yisrael. Coming back to Rashi, Rashi says that Hashem will remember us in time of sorrow and will include all three avot if necessary. Rashi goes on to say, "Bezacharti et briti Yaakov, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov. B'chamisha mekomot nikhtav male, Yaakov is written on five occasions, male with a vav. Be'eliyahu chaser b'chamisha mekomot, and Eliyahu is written without a vav in five places. Yaakov natal ot mishmo shel Eliyahu." Over here, Yaakov took the vav from Eliyahu, and that's why Yaakov here is male. Eiravon as collateral. She'avovi vaser gulas banav. That Eliyahu will come and he will inform us of the forthcoming redemption of Am Yisrael. Rav David Feinstein says as follows: our Churban was brought about through Sinat Chinam, through causeless hatred. And as Rav Kook said, the Geula will, please God, come about through Ahavat Chinam, through causeless love. Eliyahu Hanavi is the unifier of Am Yisrael. He's the one who is a symbol of the togetherness of Am Yisrael, bringing all kochot, all powers of the people together, as we say, the Heshiv Lev Avot Avanim, Velev Banim Al Avotam, bringing different generations together. Consequently, the vav that is taken from Eliyahu is given to Yaakov, because the vav is a symbol of togetherness. It's the connector letter. The word vav means a hook. That is, for example, why the beginning of every column in Chumash, except for Chayiv, is a vav, to link the whole of Chumash together, to show us that it is one single entity coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, just by the way, a bit of useless information for you, if you're asked a riddle, what word in Hebrew is composed of the same four letters, like bet, 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 and the answer is vav, 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 vav. It's uvavo, and his hook. Okay, that's a Hebrew word, because vav means the hook. So uvavo means and his hook. As I said, it's a bit of useless information, but it's nice to know. So the vav is a hook. So Eliyahu gives his vav, which is his connector letter, to Yaakov, to give Am Yisrael the capability of connecting, of having ahavat chinam, of bringing ourselves together at a time of togetherness. And Yaakov takes the vav from Eliyahu and he says, Eliyahu, you want your vav back? This is an Eiravon. Come and get it from me. Come along into this world. Bring the Mashiach with you. And as a result, the time of redemption will come. Lord Jacobovitz Vatzal used to say, we say every morning, Sim Shalom Tova Brachachim Ches Rachmim Alin Bekul Shalom Echa Barachinu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad Be'or Panecha. Kulanu Ke'echad. When we daven for shalom, for peace between ourselves and our enemies, we include within the bracha that we should all be kulanu ke'echad, that Am Yisrael should be united. Because unfortunately, sometimes in the face of dangers from without, we separate ourselves from within. And therefore, we need to have that vav within our name, within the Yaakov, seeing as we're Bnei Yisrael, to guarantee our togetherness in time of trouble. My concluding idea relates to the absence of the mentioning of Zechira for Yitzchak. No Zechira for Yitzchak. Hashem says, I will remember Yaakov, I will remember Avram, that is Brit Yitzchak, but for Yitzchak there is no remembrance. Here there are two possible explanations. First of all, if we have a look at the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Torah says, Afani elech imam bekeri ve'hiveiti otam be'eret oyevehem, a reference to exile in Chutz Laretz. Yaakov was somebody who for part of his life lived in Chutz Laretz on two separate occasions. Avram Avinu was born in Chutz Laretz, came on Aliyah, left the land in time of famine, then came back. Yitzchak was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who died in Eretz Yisrael, never stepped foot out of it. So consequently, the context here relates to Hashem remembering Am Yisrael in Chutz Laretz. There's a remembrance of Yaakov and of Avram, but no reference to remembrance of Yitzchak, because he himself was never in Chutz Laretz. But there is a different way of approaching it. A most remarkable perush of Rashi, very meaningful for us today. Rashi asks, V'lama lo nemra zechira v'yitzchak? Why is zechira not mentioned with regard to Yitzchak? Ela, however, what we see is
Afarosh shel Yitzchak nire lefana sabur umunach al hamizbeach.
Hashem says as follows: the ashes of Yitzchak from the Akedah are constantly seen by me, as if in a pile, gathered there on the altar. Hashem says, I don't need to have to try to remember Yitzchak, because the ashes of Yitzchak are constantly before me. What is the statement? You see, it's as if, because Yitzchak had the full intent to go through the Akedah, and in truth he was the hero at the time of the Akedah, even more so than his father Avraham Avinu, because he was willing to go through with it, it's as if he sacrificed himself. So Hashem takes to the offer the ashes that would have been, and they are before him always. Hashem says, I don't need the chira for Yitzchak. His ashes are before me always. But Avraham and Yaakov, who didn't go through a similar experience, there we need the chira. Why is this so relevant for us? In our post-Shoah times, we are often troubled by the fact that there were so many precious Yidden for whom no Kaddish was ever said. No Yizkor is ever said for them in their name. Yes, there are collective Yizkors, but not for them in their name. And here we have reassurance. A Yizkor, a Zechira, that's necessary for a Yaakov or for an Avraham. But for the Yitzchaks of Am Yisrael through the ages, for Jewish martyrs, Hashem declares in the words of Rashi, Afarosh al Yitzchak, Nirin Lefanai Tamid, the ashes of Yitzchak are before me always. At the highest levels of Gan Eden, those neshamas go to the very highest levels. They're before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No Yitzchor is necessary. No Kaddish is required. Those precious souls are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. What wonderful words of comfort in our time, arising out of a klela, arising out of a curse. So what I hope I have achieved to do by just scratching the surface is to show you how Baruch Hashem, even within the klelot that we'll be reading on Shabbat, Baruch Hashem, there will be many brachot.